Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. Hi, I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the Friday episode. We're going to do some predicting of the weekend's football. And I don't know what else we're going to talk about.
I've got a couple of things that I want to...
Have you got some things up your sleeve? Yeah.
I've got some things up my sleeve that have been burning a hole in my soul.
Oh,
that I really need
I like these ones.
To get off of my chest. One is we did a show earlier in the week, and there's been let's be honest, it's been a week of technical problems on Top Flight Time Machine, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
And you know, you've had to bear the brunt of that, for which I am both apologetic and grateful. I want you to know that. But this is not, that's not what I wanted to get off my chest, although I'm glad I've said it. I'm glad I've said it. Anyway.
I'm glad you've said it.
One of the issues meant that some great content was eradicated from a show, like the great Lost Beatles tapes or whatever.
Oh, yeah, last Friday. Yeah.
So I'll quickly talk about it and remind you of it. I've been in the thick of writing an article for The Guardian over the last couple of weeks about doing nothing. And I've been researching the idea of doing nothing.
Ironically taken up
it's taken up so much of my fucking time. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And just, you know, as an aside, I was, part of the brief was to not just research it, which involved interviewing lots of various, you know, psychiatrists and behavioural experts and Buddhists and all the rest of it, right? It was also...
Head shrinkers.
Yeah, head shrinkers. Hello. Yeah, it's Sam Delaney here. Yeah, the journalist, that's right. What can you tell me about doing nothing? I haven't got much time to make it snappy. How do you do it?
What's your tips? What's your best practice?
Come on, hit me. Give us just your top three. Cut to the top three best bits. Right, but anyway. Yeah, so they wanted me to put all of this to the fucking test, but of course I never got round to it because we were on tour, etc. So in the end, I just had to try it out on the train on the way back from Thirsk when I was rushing back to get to West Ham Spurs. I thought I'd give it a couple of hours.
What a schedule.
Yeah, well, I'll give it a couple of hours on the train of doing nothing. But in actual fact, I just fell asleep, and apparently that doesn't count. Apparently that doesn't count as doing nothing. Can you believe it? What a rip-off.
Having travelled with you around the country, Sam, that doesn't surprise me at all. You nodded off.
Fucking loving that, don't I, on the train. Something about the rhythm, mate. Anyway.
I think it is.
As part of my research, I came across, I had to read a couple of academic papers that had been written by various professors at the University of Virginia on the subject of doing nothing.
Virginian head shrinkers.
Dr. Sir John Head Shrink. Anyway, this one, which is what I read out on the show earlier in the week, and it got lost in some sort of technical difficulty. It's called The Mind Is Its Own Place, The Difficulties and Benefits of Thinking for Pleasure. Interesting. Here is the bit from the intro that caught my eye. First,
do you know what I would call, before you go any further, do you know what I would call thinking for pleasure? Another word I'd give it. What? Dwelling.
Dwelling? No. Yeah. Dwelling could be unpleasurable because you may dwell on, so many people, myself included, but I don't have it that bad. My problem's always been the future, not the past. I'm not that, I'm not one of those to worry too much about the past.
Yeah.
Because my attitude is, it's fucking happened. Can't do anything about it now. Do you know what my attitude is about things that happened in the past? Good. I'm glad.
Glad it's over.
Yeah. Or like, if it happened, it happened. Good. Fucking celebrate it. Everything that's happened to me up until this point has made me the man I am today.
Yeah, and are you happy with the man you are today?
I'm satisfied with it. Let's
Good.
Put it that way.
You're all right then.
I'm content. Anyway,
can I call it pleasure dwelling then?
Pleasure dwelling, yeah. Because
positive dwelling.
You could dwell on the past, or like negative thoughts about the past, or you could dwell on your anxieties about the future.
I guess you're right. Yeah, dwell. It seems like a nice word though. Dwelling.
Here's a quote from Milton in his famous poem, and my personal favourite of his, Paradise Lost, which, as you know, was written in 1667. And it says, the mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven.
Oh,
quite right. So it all depends. What he's trying to say there is, listen, right, you've got to get your fucking nuts straight or you might be all over the place, right? Who knows what might happen?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not even the best bit. The best bit is this. The ability to just think, to turn away from the external world and engage in thought and reflection is a mark of what it is to be human. Certainly many other species possess sophisticated cognitive abilities, enabling them to solve complex problems. Ravens, for example... now your ears are pricking up.
Fucking ravens, eh?
Ravens, for example, rehide food if they notice another bird watching them. Remember that? This is the bit that got lost.
Sneaky ravens.
Sneaky bastard. Yeah. Just going to hide that under that. Bit like that, bit of brush. Oh, hey, what are you looking at? What are you fucking looking at? You nosy bastard.
It's fucking see me. I'm going to have to rehide it.
I might as well just eat it now. I'm going to save it for later. I'll hide it in my raven guts.
There, properly hid.
Get it out of there, dickhead. The only chance that's got coming out is my arse, and then you're welcome to it, by the way.
It's either going to come at my arse or I'm going to spew it up, and either way, you're not going to want it.
Fucking ravens, though, eh? I think basically, ravens are the closest animal species to humans in that sense, aren't they?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Because we've all hidden food in our time, haven't we?
10 more points for the raven guts. And of course, that was going to be the title of last week's episode, wasn't it? It'll be the title of this one instead.
My mate,
Dan, not a single piece of material wasted on Top Flight Time Machine.
No, we can't afford to, the amount that we're fucking churning out. So anyway, that was that. My mate Dan, I've probably told this story before, once hid a bottle of rum in a bin in Portsmouth outside Fratton Park because he'd come straight from the airport. And so they wouldn't obviously let him in the ground. It was too big to hide down his trousers. So he hid it in a bin under some rubbish. And then when we came out after the game, he went back to the bin and got it.
Still there.
Bin rum.
Yeah, how was it not going to still be there? Who's going to go rummaging through the bin? What are the odds of that?
We're in Portsmouth though, mate.
I'm not saying anything against Portsmouth. I haven't got a problem with it. So there's that, the Raven Guts and Milton and that. You've been to see the Archbishop of Canterbury this week. Are you able to speak about that, or is it embargoed? Or
yeah, well, I'll just tell you.
Overview, impressions, feelings?
Impressions, positive. His
good
rig,
lad, is he?
His rig is extraordinary.
I'd imagine it would be, yeah.
Fucking top rig. Just basically a massive castle next to the River Thames.
Let's not piss about. It's going to be one of Britain's best rigs, isn't it?
It is, and I complimented him on it.
The Queen's said, probably got the top one.
They said, where am I going to chat to him? They go, in his study. Well, I walked into his study, and it's no exaggeration to say it was bigger, square footage-wise, than my whole rig. And this was just his study.
Just the study. Fucking hell.
He had on the table... He needs space.
He's got a lot of Archbishop to do.
He's got loads to do. Yeah, he's Archbishop in his arse off, especially at this time of year. He was like, I bloody tell you, this time of year is a nightmare for me.
Because everyone wants in Christmas. On
it. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of all those fucking amateur drinkers who come out in summer, fucking clog up the bars, you know. And it's like, year round, right, we're fucking working hard on our old cirrhosis of the liver, right? And then suddenly... All the fucking yummy mummies and all the rest of it, they come out fucking amateurs. And it's the same thing at Christmas, right? I'm godding it all fucking year. Suddenly everyone wants a piece of it. I pray every fucking day of the year to God, right? And he knows that, right? Then suddenly every fucking bastard and his missus turn up at church on Christmas Eve praying for forgiveness, wanting the best presents. It's ridiculous, mm-hmm. really, but, you know, that's the racket I'm in. Now, he didn't say any of those things. I must be careful. But he did say it was a busy time of year. And crucially, I think I mentioned this on this week's Roy the Rovers thing, so this is only really for people who are non-IFS, not that we owe them any fucking favours, the freeloading bastards. But he did say, I asked him what his Christmas message to the country was, and he said, don't fear, love.
Ah, yeah.
So, and I was sort of, I more or less said, mate, you are talking my fucking language here.
Yeah,
this is just exactly. the sort of thing that I'm all about. So you got no problem with me, sunshine. I will put that straight down on paper.
I'll say this, Archbishop. I will paint you in a favourable light in this article. It's not going to be some kind of
hatchet job.
Yeah, hatchet job.
I'll be honest. I came here hell bent on doing a hit job on you, but you've won me over.
I thought, who's this smart ass cunt with his big rig?
I've seen your flashy rig and your big costumes, and I thought, no, he's not for me. He's a flash Harry. But I've heard what you have to say, and you've won me over. I like it. I like you.
You're very down to earth. You've got a strong positive message. I like it.
You're my sort of fella.
I'll just say, keep it on. Keep on keeping on, mate.
Keep on. I would love to stay and chat longer, but I've got to get going. I've got a podcast to do. You're no doubt aware that I'm one half of Top Light Time Machine. You're probably a listener, I would imagine. Did you come to any of the live shows? Well, I tell you what, we're doing some in London in February. Drop us a line, I'll stick you on the guest list.
Two north down. Get yourself on here, King's Cross.
Probably no very problem handy at all. You plus one. Bring the fucking Pope.
Bring the wife.
He has got a hotline to the Pope, and I saw it. It's a video phone. It's a bit like one of those Alan Sugar things. It's a bit like one of those Alan Sugar email phones he's got, and he contacts the Pope on it. Yeah.
Does it just say Pope on a label across the top?
Yeah, and it's just one big button. Bang! Straight through.
Pope,
it's me, the Archbishop. Have you heard this about the Ravens? Apparently they know how to hide their food. Yeah, just heard it on Top Light Time Machine. Unbelievable. Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet. I was going to have a listen when I have my bath later on. No spoilers, you cunt.
I tell you what, God works in fucking mysterious ways. You said that to me. I'll never forget it. And here's your proof.
You've
got ravens hiding food.
I'll admit, I've took it and I've used it myself. But I always give you credit when I use it.
So getting back to that.
He's got a great rig. Who's got the best rigs in Britain? You'll have the Queen, you've got the Archbishop of Canterbury, and you've probably got Raheem Sterling. They're probably the big three.
Yeah, I would say so.
There'll be a big drop off after that, I reckon.
They're the top three. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Raheem Sterling's probably got better gadgets and stuff.
Well, fucking hell, he hasn't got a hotline to the Pope, has he?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true.
Bear that in mind. Score a lot of points for that.
Yeah. I think the Sunday Times at the end of the year will do their best rigs 2020 anyway.
100 best rigs.
They do that. They canvass it. So
the rig list.
Mm. Yeah, it's massive. It's a massive thing. I think I actually know someone who went to... I know a few people who've been to Simon Cowell used to, I don't know if he still does, throws a big sort of star-studded party at his rig every year.
I bet that's an increasingly joyless experience as years go by.
Yeah, but back in the heyday of the X-Factor and all the rest of it, every cunt turned up, even Elton John and all the rest of it. And someone went and took some photos and I saw them. And the most amazing thing about his rig that I always remember is that he had black toilet paper.
Whoa!
That's disgusting, isn't it?
What kind of mind decides that it wants black toilet paper in its home?
Oh, no.
That's just fucking warped.
I think he might have thought, right, I've got all my fucking best famous mates coming round, right? Elton John, Wagner, Jedward, the lot. I've got to put on a good show.
All the gang.
I've got to put on a good show. I want everything to look dead classy. And the only thing that at the moment doesn't fit is that fucking Kleenex in the bog. I got the thick stuff, you know, the double layered stuff, Right, yeah. But even that, it still just looks a bit fucking budget, a bit suburban. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I want something that looks like Duran Duran would have had on their yacht in the 80s. I know. I'll get some fucking black stuff made. And then his assistant would have said, yeah, but imagine how disgusting that's going to look when someone wipes their arse. He's going, yeah, but it's
brown
a party.
Black.
No one, it's a star-studded party. No one's coming here to do a shit, are they? Which is true. You would think that. You're not. If I went
you'd
to a party at Simon Cowell's, a star-studded party, I wouldn't be... I would make sure that all of that was taken care of before I got there. I wouldn't turn up thinking, oh, can't wait to have a shit in Cow's Bog. Be a waste of time.
Well,
you're
perhaps,
thinking maybe you would.
That's probably why I'd go, to be honest. Save it
well,
up.
Well,
I'm going
gone.
Down there. I'm on the train. I'm going down there. I'm saving a day's shit up. I'm holding it in. And as soon as I'm in that party, bang, out it comes.
Would you
straight
do that
down in, his fucking U-bend.
Would you do that in the in Buckingham Palace too?
Yeah, everywhere. Everywhere posh.
Is that your MO?
Well, that's gone working class, isn't it? Working
is that
class
your,
Northerner.
Is that your, is that the working class, is that your working class war, that your class war
badge,
that you're fighting?
It's the badge of honour. Yeah, that's what we do. We leave our mark.
You're going to bring,
like
you're going to bring the establishment down one turd at a time.
Yeah. Blocking their pipes, the thin pipes.
The fucking
pipes.
Queen will be so used to people pulling a stunt like that, you know, that Sheila
fucking...
She'll
say them as soon as they go in. She'll say, yes,
don't
good afternoon,
try.
Thank you for coming to the garden party. The shutter's over there up the stairs.
Yeah, and then she leans in to her fucking lady in waiting. She went, that one's got something planned, I'm telling you. I fucking clocked the way he was walking as soon as he came in. He looks like he's been saving something up in his guts for about the last fucking 24 hours. Follow him. Follow him.
I bet it's from fucking Barnsley.
Yeah.
Somewhere north.
Follow the cunt. He whiffed of gravy and he looked like he fucking had been saving a shit up for the last day and a half. Follow him up there, right? And stick your ear to the door. And if you hear anything funny going on, right, get one of the horseman's guards up to kick the fucking door in and sling the cunt out. Trust me, I can tell. I've got an after all these years, I've got a fucking instinct for it. I can see the moment they walk in.
It's written all over their faces. But, I mean, you know, black toilet paper. Toilet paper should be white or at the very least pastel coloured.
Peach.
Because you need to be able to see, peach, some kind of like really lime green, but really faint.
Avocado.
You need to be able to see what you're dealing with. You
well, yeah,
I mean?
For health purposes, it's very important.
It's a precision game, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to keep a close eye. Fellas, we usually get sponsored to say things like this, but I'm going to say it for free. Mm. Fellas, keep an eye on your toilet paper because, you know, look out for anything unusual. Yeah. Get yourself down
the
GP's.
First sign. Get it
Take
checked.
The paper with you. And
take it with you. Put it in a plastic bag.
Storm in and
there.
Say, hey, have a fucking butcher's at this, doc. It's not fucking normal, is
this?
It? Not fucking normal, is it? No, that's what I said to the missus.
Right.
So what are we going to do about it?
Doc, get your microscope out. Have a look at this.
Have a
See
look up here.
Jalapeño.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Reminds me of the classic Mr. Dean story. Do you remember it?
Mr. Dean?
I cannot examine you today because your anus... What is it? Your anus is filthy. I think that was it. I've got it written down somewhere. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to reheat another old anecdote. Go back to about... It was in our first sort of 10 episodes somewhere. The Mr. Dean story is a classic. Right,
yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about football? There's been a lot of excitement in the world of football. Today, I know it's not really exciting, but let's pretend. Today, Unai Emery, the manager of Arsenal, has been sacked.
Mm-hmm.
That's big, exciting news, Andy. I'm looking at you now.
Yeah.
You look like you've never heard anything more fucking tedious in your life.
Well, it's not exactly a surprise, is it? You know, it's been in the post for a few weeks now. They got beat last night. I don't even know who they got beat off.
This is a club, though. This is a club that people, you know, there was huge protests about Arsene Wenger being booted out for years. You know, they don't take action swiftly. And a lot of club chairmen are not only worried about losing the money that it costs to sack someone, they're also embarrassed about losing face because it was them who made the decision. And so they want to stick with him and say that they're committed to a long-term plan. Mm. I mean, that's what's going on at West Ham. And every time another club, first Tottenham, then Arsenal, it'll be Everton next.
Yeah.
And we're just sat there thinking, well, by the time we get rid of our fucking joker, there'll be no one left. We'll be getting bargain basement managers again, like when we had to get Moyes in for half a season.
Well, this is it, yeah. Someone had to blink at some point, and they have, and it's now who comes in.
Do you know what I would love? Do you know what would be really exciting for the narrative of the Premier League season? And it's not beyond the realms of possibility. It would be so exciting if Pochettino tomorrow was announced as the new Arsenal manager. Don't you think?
Pochettino.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, well.
Because all those Spurs fans, they still love him.
Half an hour.
Well, I think it would be exciting.
It would be just like when George Graham went to Spurs, though, wouldn't it? An opposite.
No, but there was a gap there. He didn't go directly.
Yeah,
he'd been at Leeds for a few years. He'd had a few years off and then he'd been at Leeds. I think this would be more dramatic.
It would be like Sol Campbell again then, would it?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was.
But
that,
then,
I couldn't believe
that. They sacked Pochettino, so if you support your club, you've got to support the decisions that are made by the hierarchy. And then if Pochettino doesn't go to Arsenal, then...
What about bloody your new manager, Phil Parkinson? You don't respect that decision to hire him?
Not at all. It's not even that I don't respect it. I don't even acknowledge it. I don't even know what the cunt looks like.
Are
He's done 11 matches. I couldn't tell you what he looks like.
You don't care. In your mind, he's not the manager of Sunderland.
He's not a man. When I think of Phil Parkinson, I just see a blank face with a question mark in the middle of it. That's all I see. I'm doing it in my mind's eye now. I'm thinking, think Phil Parkinson. That's what I'm getting. Question mark face.
He's a, is he a bit like the sentient blob that we get our fixtures from?
Yeah, but without the charisma. Listen, we've had 2 wins in 11 matches and we got beat at home off Burton
Albion.
He's got
to go. It's simple. He's got to go and Keno's got to come back. It's fucking obvious. It's staring us in the face.
We got relegated into this League One thing, right, at the same time as Burton Albion a year and a half ago. And in that 18 months or whatever, Burton Albion, with a ground capacity of 4,000 and an average crowd of 3,000, compared to our average crowd last season of 30,000, they have assembled a team that fucking played us off the park the other night. Now, I'm not saying we're the big I am and we're all Billy Big Bollocks and all this kind of thing, because we're not where we are because of what we are, but the level of management that's gone on for that to be the case, that a team that plummeted out of the Championship at the same time as us has somehow revived itself and played us off the park the other night
is just fucking ridiculous. Do you think Phil Parkinson has inherited a toxic group of players?
Not particularly. We didn't have a great start of the season, but we weren't doing that badly. You know, and now we're sitting in 11th, having won 2 out of the 11 games that he's had in charge. It's got considerably worse since he came in. So, I mean, I don't even know if they've got the money to be able to sack him and get anybody else in. Because the club's been run on a shoestring as it is.
It would have just cost them a lot of money to sack the other fella. They've got to stick with him now. The best you can hope for is that they get rid of him and then bring in someone like literally the youth team coach or something.
Well, that might be it. We could have had the Barnsley manager who got sacked, you know, 3 months ago. He'd just been sacked. He'd taken Barnsley out of the League One last season and in the Championship, and they sacked him because they weren't doing very well, because they'd got them and sold their best players.
Isn't there a club legend who'll step into the breach? You know, Mickey Gray.
Kevin Phillips should do it.
Kevin Phillips should do it, you're
Give
right.
Give it to Kevin Phillips. Give it to Kevin Phillips, and it'll put a rocket under the club, and then that gives you the momentum you need.
It builds atmosphere and excitement around the club.
Yeah.
Plus, actually, despite the fact that he's a club legend, he also does seem like a smart bloke too. I mean, whenever you see him interviewed, he seems like an articulate kind of, you know, passionate guy.
He's coached at Derby, he's coached at Leicester, you know, he's got all the coaching badges, he worked with Nigel Pearce
at
Leicester.
He's got all the badges, don't worry about that.
Yeah, he's all right, he'll do it, he's got all the badges.
Yeah, he's got the badges.
A through to Z. Yeah. So, I don't know. But the Arsenal thing...
We both want our manager sacked. Of course we fucking do.
Yeah, of course we do.
Best thing you can do is sack a manager.
Arsenal, I think you're talking about why has it happened when it's happened. Three words. So Chips Keswick.
Chips Keswick?
It's all Chips Keswick.
Who's that?
You've heard of Chips Keswick, haven't you? Sir Chips Keswick.
No.
On the Arsenal board.
No.
He's the fella off the Monopoly box. That's his real name. And he's on the board at Arsenal. Sir Chips Keswick. Yeah,
Sir
I think
Chips
so.
Chips Keswick is the owner of Arsenal, or just sits
on
the board.
He's a board member, yeah. Yeah.
And he's Mr. Monopoly.
He's the chairman. I think he's also Mr. Monopoly, yeah.
And Mr. Monopoly has decided he's pressed the button.
Yeah. He's released the iron dog.
Yeah.
And it's chased Unai Emery out of town.
It's your time, Mr. Emery. Leave now.
Or the iron dog is coming after you.
My iron
dog. And it's full size.
Will devour you, Mr. Emery. Go back to Spain.
It's not tiny like on the board game. It's fucking massive.
I've also got a full-size sports car. and a massive fucking metal wheelbarrow, too.
And a fucking huge top hat.
I will unleash all of them. Use all of them against you.
For I am Sir Chips Keswick. And I will not be fucked with. So there we are. Shall we do some football predictions?
Let's do it, yeah.
What was that match the other night? It was Aston Villa versus Newcastle, wasn't it? How did that finish? Do you remember?
I think Villa won it.
Was it 2-0?
Something like that.
I'm just doing this on the hoof. Yeah, it was 2-0 to Newcastle. So that's great, because that means you get 1 point. I get three points.
Hang on, it was 2-0 to Villa, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I said, didn't I?
No, you said to Newcastle.
Yeah, 2-0 to Villa, then, yeah, it was. But that still stands. And Resultspot gets a point, so that puts me... Just leapfrogged you, Sam. Just leapfrogged you.
Fuck.
71 to 70.
That's
Resultspot
fine.
Is on 60.
That's no problem.
Bit of pressure there for you. Right. Sunderland don't play this weekend because it's FA Cup second round and we're not in it anymore, obviously, because of Phil Parkinson. So your West Ham prediction, which is one of the five games, will not count for double. Just telling you that now. It's a standard week's predictions.
Why?
No bonuses are available.
Why
just
are
said
not...
Sunderland's not playing.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we can't predict Sunderland.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Are you
ready? That's good, because I'm going to predict us to win, which we won't.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are. First up is tomorrow lunchtime. It's Newcastle versus Manchester City.
Shall I go first?
I'd like you to.
0-3.
Oh, 0-3. I'll go 0-2. And then on Chelsea versus West Ham, I'll do this one first. I can't say past 3-1 to Chelsea.
Okay, now that's flattering, to be honest, the idea that we'd get a goal. I'll say 1-0 West Ham.
1-0 West Ham.
But I want to make it clear right now that I don't really think it'll be 1-0 to West Ham.
That kind of flies in the face of what a prediction league is all about.
Yeah.
Okay, and then on to the next one, which is Liverpool versus Brighton.
Liverpool 3, Brighton 1.
Did you see where Brighton have given Graham Potter a new 6-year contract?
The idiots.
After having 3 months of decent form.
I'll tell you, that reminds me of another bloke who I spent some time with in the week. Day after I've been with the old Arch Bish, I spent a few hours with Alan Pardew. Pardiola, as he was known by the Geordies. Because we were doing, for our podcast, Eamon and the Gaffers, where Eamon Holmes, which you should subscribe to if you haven't already, because it's really good. He does really good interviews. And I think we're releasing Stuart Pearce next week. He's already done Mike O'Neill, Allardyce, Stuart Pearce. Then we got Steve McLaren, and then Alan Pardew's probably going to be the last one. Alan Pardew's almost the best one, I think. But yeah, because he was very relaxed. You know what Pardew's like. He's king of the bants, isn't he?
He's an entertainer, isn't he? Yeah,
he's an entertainer, exactly. And he's a laid-back entertainer too. So he's like, he's not being guarded with his words. He's just sort of like, he thinks it, then he says it.
Yeah, fuck it.
He's like me in that way. Thought words. Anyway, it reminded me, and he brought it up himself, of like when Mike Ashley gave him a 9-year contract.
Yes.
You remember? Yeah. Hey, I had a good result on the weekend. I've decided to give you a 9-year contract. Not 8 and not 10, but 9.
And did he look back on that with fondness?
Of course he fucking did. Because from the moment he signed that contract, he could not wait to get sacked, I bet. I mean, he didn't say that to me, but obviously. I mean, who gives out a 9-year contract? He wouldn't have even wanted a 9-year contract. Why do you want it? Why?
Yeah. I don't want to be here in 9 years. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So, yeah, Brighton, Graham Potter, 6 years. Onwards, Southampton versus Watford. Oh, sorry, I've just said Liverpool 2, Brighton 0 there. Southampton versus Watford. I'll go first here. This is the battle of the relegation nightmares,
dreary
isn't it?
Game, isn't it?
I think Southampton will win this one, though.
He's another one. Ralph Rabbit Hutch, he's on the brink.
2-0. Well, yeah, and the Watford man as well. What's his name?
He's only just been appointed.
He's back and he's going to get sacked again. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a mess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Southampton Watford, Sam. Go for
it. This could be like the season where every Premier League manager gets sacked at some point. We're going to, sooner or later, maybe not this year, sooner or later, that will happen.
I've said this before. I've got a theory where managers should be on 6-month rolling contracts, and every 6 months, season ticket holders should vote whether they want them to stay for another 6 months or not.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it? Telling you.
I would love it if they had to perform like certain challenges out on the pitch in order to get their contract renewed. A bit like the Hunger Games crossed with It's a Knockout.
Like that. Yeah.
I'd love to see, like, Pellegrini has to wear a massive sumo costume and then go through a sort of an assault course like the one the dogs have to do at Crufts. Jumping through hoops, walking along planks, etc.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was the Watford question? Oh, yeah, Southampton, Watford. Is it at Watford?
It's at Southampton.
Oh.
That's why I said Southampton first.
Oh, fucking hell, all right. 2-1 to Southampton.
2-1 to Southampton. And finally, Norwich versus Arsenal. Poor, managerless, rudderless Arsenal. I'll go first. I'm going to go 2-0 Norwich.
Oh, yeah, I like your style. I'll say 2-1 Norwich, yeah.
2-1 Norwich.
Unless the Lundberg effect kicks in. I don't think, obviously, I think it goes without saying there's never been a better looking manager, caretaker or otherwise, in the Premier League than Freddie Lundberg, has there?
Yeah, you could be right. I'd have to think about that, but you could be right.
I mean, Guardiola's pretty attractive. Mourinho's pretty attractive.
Roy Keane in his day at Sunderland. there was a lot of love about that, especially when the beard came out.
I think maybe that's a bit more of a niche interest, the Roy Keane thing. But yeah, I mean, there's no one has come close to Freddie Lundberg. He's got to be in the top three best looking players in Premier League history, and now he's definitely the top. But I mean, you've got David Beckham, and then you've got probably Patrick Berger out of Liverpool.
No, we're not talking players, we're talking managers.
Best looking players ever are them. And really, he was in that top three, and now he's managing. Beckham and Berger haven't managed. David James, people used to find him attractive because he was an Armani model, but he hasn't managed. I don't know what I'm talking about him for. I'm just literally talking about handsome men. Steve McQueen. Handsome man. Very handsome man.
This episode is coming to an end now. I was going to mention as well, it's probably Premier League this weekend, but then next week, if you've got Amazon Prime, which you might have to get all your parcels next day delivery, they've got all 10 midweek Premier League matches on Amazon Prime. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Take your pick.
This week?
This week.
So I could, so West Ham are playing Wolves on Wednesday, and I can watch that on Amazon.
If that's who they're playing on Wednesday, yeah. Yeah.
But they are, mate. I wouldn't lie.
It's on Wednesday at 7:30, I think.
I would never lie about who my team are playing. I wouldn't go, oh,
why
yeah.
Would you?
Hey, by the way, Andy, guess who West Ham have got in the week? Who, Sam? Barcelona. Fucking Barcelona. In what competition? What competition? I'll tell you what competition. Final of the World Cup. What? That can't be right. Fucking is, mate. Look it up.
No, it is.
They're my team. DCFN. I should know.
I'm off now. You go off on your scooter.
Where are you going? Fucking Nou Camp. Where'd you think, dickhead?
Right, that's it for this one, because I've got the school route to do now. Fuck
oh
this.
Yeah, alright, good luck with that. Have a good weekend, yeah, everyone. Yeah, just rest.